Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is your girl, Sierra Taylor, and you are tuned into the Miserable Wives Club podcast. What's going on, C?
What's going on? You know Big C in the building? I need to be a part.
I know. This is a disclaimer. I have been busy. Listen. On the move, on the go. It's been kind of hectic.
Yeah.
So how have you been?
I've been good. You know,
I did just see you the other day eating crab.
Listen, when I tell you we ate the bottom out of those buckets and bags, shout out to Crab Hut. Yes, full house sauce, half medium. Let's get it. Let's go. Yes. Yes, that was a good time.
It was.
Shout out to Brie, girl. Yes.
Honestly, and you know what? Like, when I finally got home, I was so tired. I didn't feel like I ate that much because, of course, I was sharing with my counterpart.
Yes. Shucking and checking.
Yes. But, so when I got home, I was just so drained. Like, the next morning, I was like, it was a night of crabs. Like, seriously, I was so tired. And you know, I had that coffee, so I still went straight to sleep, surprisingly. So,
girl, lucky you, child. I was up. I was trying to move stuff around, everything, girl. I don't know if it was the coffee or the crabs, but that was a good combination. Now the next morning, we ain't gonna talk about that part, but you know,
I get it. So this week I wanted to cover a topic that is closely related to my book.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, or if you have not heard, I did write a book in 2020. It is called The Different Suits of an Ace.
Yes. And good read.
It is. I actually have not read this since 2020. I may read it over again to pick up some things from my old self. Saying that to say, the book is about the different lanes, per se, in your life as an individual. And basically how to identify, quote unquote, an ace. I'm not going to say good luck charm because I don't believe in good luck charms or good luck at all. But ace is like that number one thing or that number one person that keeps you thriving in whichever part of your life. A big part of, you know, why I wrote this book was mainly because I started to realize, like, suitability. And not just in my personal life and my friendships, but within my career and within my spiritual belief, all of that. I really came to terms with what was really suitable for me. And then I kind of generalized it.
Girl, you did more than generalize it. You wrote that thing down, honey. If y'all did not pick up that book based off of the Game of Fades, right?
It is.
Yeah, and coming from a part now, y'all don't come for my neck now. I am from Florida, but I was kind of on the sidelines looking at his face because I was so scared I was going to put that wrong thing. And then you know how they get, girl. They be like, you renege, blah, blah, blah. Girl, they be to like start a whole fight. And I'm just
Do you know how to play spades?
Okay, so listen, I know how to play spades. Remember, comma, I am scared because everybody rules and stuff like that, and you can't do this and you can't do that. Like, but luckily for me, because personality and then plus I like to talk a whole lot of shit, I can get through and slide, girl. I'm taking a page out your book. Try to slide through and get through the game. But once I get through that one time, that's it. I'm not playing no more. Not playing no more. But was so relatable how you put it to your book, girl. I think you saw me on Snapchat that one, yeah, that one day.
I
And
did.
let me tell y'all, the book is a good read. You can get through it within like, I would say maybe like 30 minutes to an hour, if that. But it will last a whole lot longer if you just take it, reflect on it, and then see where it's coming from, because it puts it in a whole nother perspective in a whole nother realm. So I don't want to take, I don't want to tell too much, but go ahead. But when I tell you, I was sitting in the car like, I am blown away. Like, yes. Girl, you should have saw, well, you saw me sitting in the car reading that book, and then I'm telling all my other people about it, and they was just like, man, I gotta get it. I was like, you sure better, because looking at some of y'all stuff on social media and y'all relationships, y'all need it. Hell, y'all need it. Matter of fact, let me send y'all two copies.
And just to put this disclaimer out there, it's really like you're about your relationship when it comes to the different things in your life. I don't know what other way to put it. I hate to use the word relationship, but I mean, it is what it is. Relationships. But yeah, so with that being said, I told myself, I said, you know what, I'm gonna start reading little pieces of the book. And I wanted to go to actually the part that you read. And talk about that, because I feel like we never got to talk about it. You was just reading it out loud, and then you was
The goose in it, oh, Snapchat, you
you were really animated, and I could not, like, it tickled me because I was like, I want to talk to her about it, but so let me ask you something. Whenever you read that portion that you read out loud, what came to mind? Like, what did it make you think about? And why did it hit home?
Okay, you got to remind me about the part, because it was a different part that I read out, and it was that, like, just I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. Or I didn't look at it like that. So it's just like, different ones. I like the part where about like how, like, when you meditate, and you after the end, you kind of, you have an out of body experience and you kiss your own self on the forehead. And I was like, oh shit, that's powerful. And then about the one where, you went through your relationship with college, and it was just you doing so, then probably not getting that in return, and that, you know what I'm saying? So it was just so many. I don't know why the whole meditation stuck with me. I guess, the spiritual journey part of it is, I'm so interested in that, but that's, I will never forget that, to be perfectly honest, because I can just imagine how powerful that is to have a person that is so, like strong, sure, just doing all these great and amazing things, and then to, I guess, affirm your own self, because that's exactly, what we are. We're not each other's gods and stuff like that. However, we are all spiritual and godlike beings. So that, anyways, that's a whole nother day. But so just tell me what part, girl, because I'm, I've been
Well,
eating this up.
I
I'm ready.
So I'm gonna say for that portion with the out of body experience, it's just one of those things, and I think the easiest way to kind of summing that one up is when I say out of body experience, I mean it, because it's just like stepping outside of yourself as a person, because we all know that we are our own biggest critic. Mm-hmm. However, it's one thing to have a bias, that critic in you that has a bias. That does absolutely positively no help. But to have an out of body experience, you at that point, you are looking at yourself from a non-judgmental perspective and really like being that judge that you need to be, that's actually more helpful than harmful, to say the least. I'm not going to go too deep into that one, but essentially that's what it is. And then the other one, the one that you read out loud, and I think was a big one for a lot of people that gave me feedback on the book, was about the Joker. Even if it says guarantee, there, you know, that doesn't mean you're gonna
mean
you're gonna win when you're dealing with the Joker, when you're playing with the Joker. And honestly, that was the easiest way for me to explain an ace compared to a Joker. You know, and I think anyone that has ever played spades with the Joker, and I, who do not at this point, but we all know the original game is like, you don't play with Jokers. You just, the aces are the highest, but like you said, everyone makes their own rules and people opt in to play with the Joker. It's like gambling. It's like as if it'll help you win the game.
but at what cost?
Basically. Yeah. At what cost is the question. That's a huge question. Not much. Like you're not winning much. It could cost you a game.
Girl, give him an excerpt from that part, because I need feel that from, I need to hear that again, so that way I can get really into it, because I'm starting to feel it, girl.
I'm gonna go, because I think it's okay, hold on 1 second. So I am in the chapter about Jokers, which is chapter 2.
I'm telling y'all need to go ahead and get up on it, because
okay, got it. I think this is the paragraph that you read, but I cannot remember. But so it says, the Jokers that want, wait, yeah, okay, sorry people.
Reading Rainbow. Yeah, no. Take a look. Reading Rainbow. Okay.
Okay. The Jokers that one can be dealt tend to show up strongly as false impressions of values, beliefs, a lover, organization, or a friend. In other words, Jokers are the power we give to things or people that only pose as a vessel to help us win the hand, not the game. They are only temporary. Jokers are only meant to be played with if you really know how to protect what you already have and well. One with just a Joker will not win the game, even if the face says guarantee. Now, if you have ever played spades, it's always this big argument of like, which one is the big Joker? It really doesn't matter, because you can still lose. Even if it says guarantee. So I think that whenever I was writing this, I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to Jokers, we've all had a Joker when it comes to almost everything. Unfortunately, some people have family members that are jokers. Like, that sucks. Like, it really sucks. But that's why you just have to opt out of dealing with them or associating with them. Same thing with jobs, friendships, values and beliefs,
places, girl.
Yes, significant others. Excuse me. All of that, they show up any and everywhere. It's because sometimes we kind of give certain things so much power that it takes from it, you know, basically, you know, removes the power from our ace, which is really the should be the strongest of the suit. It is the strongest of the suit, but when we play with jokers, we think this is gonna help us win.
Girl, you can honestly end the podcast right there and there. That's the whole word. You hear what I'm saying too? You ain't even got to elaborate because that details it. Seriously, girl, we can go ahead and end right now. But let me just, so that's the thing, like, when you are in, let me just speak on relationships, because it's just like you want this one thing. Women, we say, I want this man to be this. I want this man to be this. He got to be, you know, about his business. He has to be determined, ambitious. He has to know how to love me. He has to know how to take care of my needs, right? Mm-hmm. But then this joker come along who got a nice car, has money, dangle some jewelry in front of you, right? Take you out, what, on a couple of dates to Benihana's, and now all of a sudden that's not good enough for you, girl. Benihana's with the yum yum sauce, now that's good to you. And then so he don't call you for a few days, but then you send up there getting mad, and then he send you a good morning beautiful text. And then now it's great, it's good. Well, what happened to the dude that you say that you wanted to? That's what you put as your ace, but yet this joker come around dangling all these nice shiny things, knowing what to say, and you was like, oh man, I'm a bag that, I'm gonna get that. Yeah, it's a guarantee that you're gonna bag a fool, and then next thing you know, you'll be playing the game again. But hopefully when you play the game again, you already know what that joker look like. And so now your ace is elevated. Ain't nobody going to get into that space unless that ace matches that ace, and that's where they fit at.
True. But you know what? I think something that I did not elaborate on, and which it is making me want to create a few sequels to this book, about jokers, because even though they appear strong or to be more desirable, that's because that's what we do. When I say we, I mean as the individual. From your perspective, that's you giving something so much power that you think it's going to help you win. But the flip side of that is that sometimes a joker is an organization or a person that has potential. Like, there's a difference. There's a difference between, you know, and I guess that's the difference between a guaranteed joker and the baby joker. Okay. if we want to, you know, keep the analogy going, of course, a guaranteed joker is going to show up as already put together, already powerful. But baby joker has the potential, but isn't there yet. There is that joker, too, that's on the opposite end of mediocrity. So we don't want to, you know, say, okay, the joker that we're referring to is just the one that's powerful. We put a lot of and like I said, it's subjective to the person and how much basically strength they give to whatever it is that is not going to give them back what they need to get versus what an ace would do.
Right.
So.
Right. When you mention organization, baby. Well, I'm gonna be bestie.
Ma'am.
Okay. I ain't gonna be that messy.
I'm listening.
Okay, so when we talk about organization, remember how I feel like you have been at the beginning of all my shenanigans that have come out of my mouth, and you just sit back and you laugh at me, and I'm looking at you like, why are you laughing? I'm so serious. Remember back when so now, you know, I practice spirituality, right? I do not belong to a specific religion. I respect all of them, and I love, like, hearing about them and how they help people and just learning about different things. But back in the day, way, way back in time, your girl was like, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Christian, and I don't practice nothing else, and that's what's it, and that's what's all. And then, Sierra, I think you not tried to, but you was just speaking about, like, spirituality as a whole and stuff like that. And then, instead of me just shutting my mouth and listen, what's the first thing that we born-again Christians do? If it ain't got no... If it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, I don't want to hear it. Just like any other person would, right? But not listening to, at least closing your mouth and open up your ears to hear what the other person had to say. So at that time, for me, was Christianity, Baptist churches to be specific. And but I was just like, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, don't do it, girl. I need you to go ahead.
With the different denominations is that it's all Christianity. Supposedly. And so, but you have, like, people that really will separate themselves from other Christians. That is so bizarre to me, because it's just like, okay, because my church goes a different way. Like, I guess I never really understood. I mean, I understood the difference, because when you're in certain services, you see the difference in worship, which there's nothing wrong with that. But there are some that are just, like, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses. Do you consider them as Christians? I just got a question. Like, are they considered Christians? Like, I'm not even trying to join on Jehovah's Witnesses. I need to know.
And even in that, I can't even get into it. Their beliefs are different, you know, from other Christians in some ways, but they say that their one religion is, or their one true faith is leading to an eternal life, basically. Is So I don't want to get into it because I'm not familiar with it, but that's just...
I know that they're different. I used to have a roommate that was Jehovah's Witness, and she was different. But me, I've always been that person. Like, I always listen to what people believe in their faiths and receive it and understand why they believe what they believe. I think for me, it's like when you start, I guess, reading too much, that's probably my problem. When you start reading too much. No, seriously, because I read the entire Quran, and you realize it's literally the Old Testament. You kind of wonder, like, okay, some of these religions have a lot in common?
Similarities. That's
very much
it.
So.
It is very similar. It's just your journey and how you get there is going to look different. Now, do you knock somebody else's way of getting
Absolutely
there?
not.
No. You got to go your own path, you know? So, and that's what I was saying. Like, my ace at the time was strict Christianity, strict Baptist. And then I think, like, when, as time, you know, went on, and it was like, oh, non-denominational. But then I just felt that
those are the best churches I've ever went to.
Yes, they are.
Denominational.
But I just also felt restricted with, not restricted, but confined. I guess I can say restricted with, you know, what was said in the Bible versus what I was seeing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you're supposed to ask questions. So parents, if your kids ask questions, don't be telling them Jesus said. No, like... And, you know, engage with them and let them know there is some discrepancies and, you know, you'll figure it out along the way. So not to say that Christianity was my joker, but I like the way, like, I gave it so much power to the point where I didn't want to hear anything else. And it just, how I felt, you know, restricted, I was restricting other possibilities. So now my ace is my spiritual journey, and I feel so much better with, not saying that I, you know, I go out there, you know, throwing it back or whatever, but, you know, I meditate. Praying is meditation, right? I you know, I have, you know, my crystals and things like that, you know, your holy water and your communion and stuff like that. It's symbolism, right? You're giving power to that. Like, that's what you take. And then also having the mindset of I'm going to have a good day, or I'm going to make things happen, right? So faith without works is dead. So now that I have, you know, looked at it, you know, things differently, and like you say, you know, you're different aces. That is my ace. And not saying that, you know, Christianity is a joke and it posed as something. It did what it needed to do at that time. However, things have definitely shifted.
And you know what? I can understand that too. I think, and this is just my opinion, and I'm just going to give you an example. Like, the way I kind of see that, I understand what you're saying completely. And for me, my turning point was, like, you know, realizing when people give more power to the religion than they do to God.
Yes. So true.
And so then, true. And then they say it's God's word. And I know that's not what they mean when they say, when they give so much power to the actual practice of religion, but it becomes more of, like you said, what you're hearing and what you're seeing becomes two different things. And then it's just like, okay, well, let me give the power back to God.
Yes.
The higher being. Let me do that versus, well, we go to church, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to, you know, and
say Hail Mary 17 times, spin around in a circle.
And it's like, it's kind of like you're practicing something, but you're not really, I guess, building a relationship with the higher being. And so that was what made me feel like, you know what, I need to reposition and readjust my relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because, not to say that the church won't help me, but it's really a one-on-one thing.
You girl.
Because my relationship with the higher being is not the same as the relationship as the pastor, or even my parents, or their parents. So to, you know, take accountability of my own spirituality is, that's what I planned on doing, and that's exactly what I did. Mm-hmm. Did it make me become a non-believer? Absolutely not. I actually, I think I'm a better believer. I have better faith now that mm-hmm. I have been able to define my own relationship with God and like really hone in on that, and not, oh, I'm going to church, I'm going to sing in the choir, so mm-hmm. have the Bible verse, and then, you mm-hmm. know, and I say it in the book, like, you know, a lot of us, you know, used to just, you know, raised in the church, you going to the church, I mean, and you let the you know, your pastor
do all the work, basically. Yeah,
literally, do all the mm-hmm. work, interpret mm-hmm. the word of God that is supposed to be, quote unquote, received by everyone.
Yes.
How are you receiving it if you're not interpreting it yourself, which very matter that God gave you? You're letting right. someone else do it for you. Not mm-hmm. to say that that's a bad thing, but to say it's like,
at some point, you gotta take responsibility.
Tomato, tomato. Mm-hmm. Tomato, tomato. I think that's been my new thing of, this episode is getting really serious, but it's just one of those things that, you know, how some people read salmon as salmon.
Mm-hmm.
What? These are going here with this analogy.
Mm-hmm.
if the preacher reading it as salmon, and I look and say, well, that say salmon.
Salmon.
S A L. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's why I think it's so important to, I guess, do your own research.
Yeah.
But to have your own independent relationship with God.
Amen.
That's the least you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's just that on that. but I do remember, and I didn't think that anything was wrong with it. Then you got to realize we've been taught so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents was taught what their right. parents taught them, what their parents taught them. So you go back to somebody was getting beat to know this stuff.
Ooh.
I ain't trying to go. I ain't trying to ruffle no feathers, but what I'm telling Ooh. You is the truth. So, and this is all researchable things. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
someone was beat to adopt.
Yes, adopt and adapt.
Yeah, to a religion, and it's not just Christianity. Mm-hmm. Is also Islam too. When I went over to Africa, I learned that East Africans were enslaved by Arabs.
Mm.
They were. And so, you know, if you've ever read, it just goes, their slave trade was different, but it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it was different, but it was the same. And if you've ever read a book called Things Fall Apart, I read that in like high school, maybe mm-hmm. middle school. This is the middle school or high school. And then like my first year in grad school, I read it again for the University of Oklahoma. And I received it in a completely different way when I had to read it again for grad school. And let me tell you, great read, but it's basically about how Christianity and basically like the court systems and things like that were brought to West Africa. So I'm not gonna
what's the name of the book again?
Things Fall Apart. So definitely a good read. It's not about spirituality. It's about how, you know, things fall apart when you adopt or you allow someone to invade what you have already established. You give power to a joker, basically.
Ooh, there you go.
I hate to circle back to that, but it is what it is. So, Deb, you definitely might want to check that one out. It was worth the read. It's not a long read either. Till this day, it's like one of my favorite books because it gives you perspective, just from a West African perspective of dealing with newcomers. So, definitely check it out. It's an old book. It's very old. So, I mean, it's not very, very old, but it's old enough. Like, I do still have that book on my bookshelf if you want to borrow it.
Hey, listen, I might go ahead and do another Mother Goose read along at this point. Yeah. You know what? Another thing is too, like when you're talking about just to round it out, like professionalism, right? Or professional jobs. You put the job that you're doing as, you know, as your eighth, right? You clock in, day out, right? And you good at it. You make it do what it do. They call on you, and then you around here losing sleep, staying up late, right? And you putting in all your effort into it, but you know, as soon as something happened to you, or you know, something that you cannot control, they already interviewing your replacement as you are going through whatever it is that you're going through. Not even, you know, they may do the little quick check-in, like, oh hey, how's it going, how you doing, you know, that type deal. They don't give, girl, the two pieces of paper, the application rubbed together about you. They don't. And then on top of that, it's just like you already have a passion in doing something. You already know what you want to do. And a lot of times is that, you know, we have dreams, but we don't have plans. We got the plans, but we don't have ambition. We got ambition, but we do not have the discipline. So then what is your ace then in your passion when it comes to something that you want to, you know, achieve and do? And a lot of people, they're like, oh, everybody thought of anything. Everybody, you know, already made a market for that. Girl, this world is so big and so vast that you can literally find your niche in anything and make it work.
Literally. Literally. You are absolutely right. You really can. I had somebody ask me, well, I was given the example of how anything can really be an investment, and I got some pushback. I'm like, no, dude, like when you define investment, anything, you know what I'm saying? You can really monetize almost anything now, especially since the internet is here to stay, and it's, you know, it's getting faster and faster and processing information and sending information even faster. So saying that to say, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a passion. That's where, you know what I'm saying?
Some that's true.
And I think, and I'm not going to say I kicked myself, but my undergraduate degree is in mathematics. Do you know why it's in mathematics?
Because it got something to do with that money, that shmoney.
No, because that
was... Not that she said no to God. Dang. So all my little thunder. No. That was a hard no.
No, seriously. It was because it was what came easy to me. It was like water under the bridge. Like everyone's like, X plus Y equals what? I was just like, oh, that makes sense because it's like a language. But girl. Yeah, that's why I majored. So it came easy to me. I was like, oh, this is nothing. I mean, it did get harder. The, you know, when you get the calculus 3 and advanced calculus and differential equations and all
okay,
of this.
Okay, you can
crazy
stop
stuff.
now because you're making my skin itch and my head hurt talking about math. No, ma'am. You can stop at any time.
Saying that to say, like, some people do things that come easy to them, and it's so easy. It's not even necessarily a passion. They're just very good at that, like, naturally. Mm-hmm. So, and they happen to make money off of it.
Right. I like wholeheartedly agree because I despise math, okay? Despise it. Not because it's because I don't like it and I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, of course I know like the basics, but anything beyond division or like maybe like algebraic expressions, that is it. But that's why I went into therapy, because I will write a paper. I love to listen to people. Hell, I love to talk clearly. Clearly, I love to talk. But it's that human connect that I can get with that one-on-one attention. That's what I love. And then just being able to give to that person who may not can get it from nobody else, but from that time that you're with me, you got my whole undivided attention, and it's not even going to fit. We're going to be kikiing, or you may on the crown, you can tell me your deepest, darkest secret, because it can't go nowhere past me. Yeah, so I definitely, for sure, what we're, you know, good at or what comes easy to us, you definitely need to capitalize.
I think most people do that for the most part. Others just, you know, there's nothing worse than meeting somebody that's doing something because someone else told them to do it. I'm speaking from experience because I've been that person too. And it's miserable. It really is. But, you know, I think what you were saying is it's not wrong. It's still right. To be able to do something with it, you know, that's more of a passion for you. But then you also have things that aren't necessarily a passion, but, you know, it's mindless to you. Like, you know, you don't have to use too much brain power. You're not working too hard. It just comes easy for you and you're able to monetize that. There are those things as well.
But y'all heard she said that with a hard no. She sounded like E-40. She was like, nope. God, yes.
No, like, it's the truth. Like,
no, it is.
My original major in college was nursing.
Ooh.
And now, anybody that knows anything about Winston-Salem State University, woo woo, chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco, bitch. But if anybody knows anything about Winston-Salem State in North Carolina, they know that it's like one of the top HBCUs, one of the best nursing programs. So with that being said, it was a lot of us when I came in as a freshman there that were nursing majors. And I think at that time nursing school may have only accepted about 500 students into the program once, you know, you took all of your basic courses. And it was like of us already, not counting other people that were probably waiting or, you know, trying to get into the program that weren't freshmen. It was 1,500 of us with that major. I was like, oh no. This is not gonna work. And then I was like, maybe I should change it to psychology. And if you've noticed, if you've been paying attention to me, any and everybody in this podcast, I always go back to, well, psychologically, that's why, because it used to really be an interest of mine, but then I was just like, you know what, I'm going to drive myself crazy if I major in psychology. So before I even changed my major, I already had went through another major in my head, like, yeah, I probably could do that. I could be somebody's therapist. I could. And I thought about it. Nope.
There she go again, y'all.
Nope. Real seriously. And so, you know, I had most of my teachers, my math teachers, they were like, I had like a diverse, I'm going to just say that my teachers, all of my math teachers were very diverse from different backgrounds and from different places in the world. And I felt like I learned so much from them, and it was just math. Like, you know, it was just math. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just change it to math. And I remember my advisor at the time was like, do you want to do math education? I said, no, math. Mathematics, that's it. The STEM.
Okay.
And so it's like, you sure? I'm like, yep, I'm sure. And then listen, junior, I'm like, oh no. No, it got rough, but it really did. It got rough, but it wasn't as bad. It was stressful. Like, you know, we did a lot of computer programming, basically we took just as many, you know, computer science and math majors took a lot of the same classes, with the exception we had to take like a more advanced calculus classes and things like that. But yeah, I was a nursing major. And then whenever I knew, like, okay, what are the odds? Let's do the math here.
Literally, let's do the math.
Let's do the math here. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to change my major. And then I thought, you know, this is me daydreaming. This is them out-of-body experiences. I didn't even go to my advisor and tell her, like, I'm ready to change my major from nursing. I had already had it in my head. And that I was going to change my major, because when I realized I did the numbers, I was like, I don't want to be a nurse that bad. I really didn't. Like, it was something because I felt like I could help people and, you know,
yeah,
keep people alive, heal the sick.
Shout out to y'all nurses now, honey, because y'all truly keeping people alive,
for real,
as you always have.
So,
and helping the sick. Oof.
Girl, yeah, so I literally was like, I had that out of body experience, like, you know what, maybe I'll do psychology. And excuse me, I thought on it, and probably like maybe not even a week after that, I at that point I still had not talked to my advisor. I was like, this ain't it. Nope.
This ain't it.
I was doing very good in my psychology class, like, but I was just like, no, I don't think I want to do this either. And so that's when I was like, you know what, math.
Girl, at least you think through things. I tell you, sometimes I just be like, hop straight on in.
Girl,
you're struggling. And then I somehow it fit. Like, that is the universe. You want to talk about an egg? Like, girl. The universe is that. Get the whole ace. You hear what I'm saying to you? Yes. I that's how I feel sometimes. At least you think through things. I just be like, oh, this look good, and put my toe in it. Girl, I be drowning. And the next thing you know, I wake up and I be like, oh, I'm the lifeguard. Thanks, universe.
Well, that's the thing. I kind of, it's like a double-edged sword, because I think almost too much on certain things. And it's just like overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's your future. Like, it's your life. So,
mm-hmm.
That's how you really got to think on things like that. Like, this is really your life. Like, let's not play around with this. And then it's money too. At that time, I had not even thought about joining the military. Not once.
Girl, let's skip that part, please.
Not once. So I do think things through, but yeah, and even when it comes down to like purchases and stuff, when I buy stuff, it could be the smallest thing. Now, if it's food, I don't think twice. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I know what it is. I do not think twice. It is not until after I have bought some food and I'm like, why did I waste my money on this? Seriously.
Everything why is else... that so funny to me? Oh.
But it's the truth. Everything else, even my Amazon cart, I've had the same stuff in my Amazon cart for a few weeks. So I've been moving it back and forth. But I be thinking about this stuff, like purchases, all of that, like, I take into consideration how it's going to affect me.
Yeah.
Everything. So.
Yeah. So what are those top four aces for you?
My top four aces?
Well, not top four, the only four. You see why they kicked me out of space? You see why? That right there. That comment
and
right there.
I was about to go along. I didn't like top four. Wait.
You see why so they kicked me out of space? That right there.
My four aces, honestly, more than likely, they're probably still the same.
The same.
So, my ace of spade, you know, that's the highest ace.
The highest.
That's my relationship with God. And my beliefs, my spirituality, my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. My ace of heart is my one and only rosebud. Maybe they have changed. My ace of club is my daughter's godmother. We all know that.
Yeah.
And then my ace of diamond. Let's talk about this. My ace of diamond. I can't say. Right now, I'm going to say, I don't want to say that my job is my ace of diamond. I would rather say that my brand is my ace of diamond. Branding,
yes!
That's a new thing for me, branding myself. Because even when you have a job, you need to brand yourself.
Yes.
To be able to, and when I say brand yourself while you have a job, I mean... if you're going to work for someone else, make sure that they know your worth and they know that, guess what? I can walk and get a job with someone else. You know why? Because I'm good at what I do and I'm disciplined in what I do. So branding yourself is not only for having your own business or being an entrepreneur, but it also should be associated with having a job. You need to brand yourself because you're basically selling who you are to a company or organization for X amount of dollars per year.
Yes.
Brand it.
I like that, girl. That just brings it up a whole nother level, honey. Yes. I picture you like walking down with your dress on and your little red bottoms, girl, just click clacking down the office. Your assistant coming up to you like, yes. And then you walk into your office like, hold on my call. Like, yes, I like that.
Yeah, so I would say, because my ace of diamond, it was my job. But now I've realized that I'm an asset. I am. I'm an asset. I can be replaced. Now, I do know that I can be replaced, but not as fast as I think
there
I can.
There you go. There you go. You know, you're right.
Everyone is replaceable for sure, but some people not as fast.
Right. So. I like that.
But yeah, I would say like Me, myself as a brand is definitely my ace of diamond.
Yes, I like that. Okay. I think my ace of spades is, again, as you, my spirituality and stuff, and just bringing my soul closer, connection like that. My ace of hearts is definitely my family, and it I didn't include it as my family, friends that I include as my family too.
So you can't hold on, hold
What?
on. Let's
What?
backtrack on this, because the ace of heart, the heart suit represents your loved ones. Like, so there's one ace. You can't say my whole family. Your family is a part of the suit. Yes, absolutely. Listen.
If I had to, which I would,
You better give that man his props.
yes, my little Latin poppy, you know what I'm saying?
I don't mean to get off subject, but you have me laughing so hard the other day. You was like, Pepe Le Pew.
Okay,
What
side note, real quick, when we went, my husband, I love this death, but he could also be the number one person that get on my nerves because be, and I'm not ungrateful. Please don't think I'm
You know,
ungrateful.
I'm gonna say it. Go ahead.
I'm not ungrateful. I'm not, but I like. If you know anything about an Aquarius, we can be involved, but we also need our space at times. And so I be needing my space at times, but then the house, I get around him. I know y'all seen that cartoon like Pepe Le Pew, he be all up on that little cat that got you that got mistaken for a skunk. And he just be all up on her, hugging her, smothering her, kissing her. I'm going to find you, my little love. Like, that is how my husband is. And I was telling, like, well, he's just like
So
Pepe Le
cute.
Pew. It is. But sometimes I just be like, can I? Girl, I have to be going around the corner and be like, dang, let me go hide in the bathroom
Just
and
cut
let
it
me go
out.
just. Let me go, like, yes, girl, knowing good well we got a gardener that come once a week, and I'm like, let me come out here and mow this grass just so I can like get a break, girl. The sun rises and falls on me if you ask him. So yes, he is my ace of heart for sure. My ace of clubs, that's to be determined. You know, I did have that for a person, but after, again, reevaluating the friendship and things like, again, looking at that and seeing was that a joker? You know what I'm saying? It they
Ooh.
served a purpose, and I'm talking about like decades of friendship served its purpose, but at the same time, it wasn't giving what it was supposed to give. And so now I have to reevaluate that. And there's no love lost. There's no hate. It's just like the book, like your book says, you have to, this is where you give power. Like there's no other way I can explain that. I think you said it beautifully. It's how, where you give power. And sometimes you may give unnecessary power and it's draining you and you're not even receiving that back. So
True.
that's a whole nother thing. And so, Ace of Diamonds right now. I like when you said brand, how you're branding yourself. I'm not quite there yet, but is there definitely some professional developments and some professional shifts. So I currently have like two jobs. I have my, I feel like Batman, girl. You'd be like Bruce
You
Wayne during the
are
daytime
woman.
and Batman at night. But I've had this, I work for the government. I have this job that I've had since I've gotten out of the military. And I'm still in the military. What am I talking
You
about?
got three
Active duty.
jobs.
Girl, 3 jobs. So
6 jobs.
Girl, listen. I need to consolidate down to 1. So I'm in the reserves, and then I work for the government, and then I also do therapy. So I am around the clock always, you know, doing something. And mm-hmm. I've come to realize, and then also having this conversation too has helped for sure, that, you know, branding yourself, I can't be scared to, you know, drop, well, I can't drop the military, but, you know, drop the government job and just go like full time into therapy. And again, you know, I may feel like I'm drowning, but hey, I'm gonna come at on the end as a lifeguard, you know, I'm trying to save other people, you know, and build up in that way. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. I thought you said we talked about this the other day. I thought you said that you liked your government job.
I do like it. I do like it. Don't get me wrong. It is very easy. I like it. But then again, my purpose and what I made for is to be, you know, connecting with the people, you know, and you know, helping them, and that's my fulfillment, you know. So just because if I like it, yes, does it mean that I'm meant to do that? Possibly not. Will it be hard to let it go? Most definitely. But, you know, going back to what you said, branding yourself, you know what I'm saying, you know, building up, you know, your portfolio and things like that. But if I build it up, I want it to be, you know, the things that, like I said, I feel like I'm made for and destined for. So
respect. I can respect it.
Yeah.
I feel like when the time is right, you just, when you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to making those harder decisions. That could, I mean, every decision is going to change your life, whether it's today or later on down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that you know will, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when it's time to make it, you'll know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure y'all go pick up that book now. Don't sleep on it, I'm trying to tell you.
Definitely do. You can find it on Barnes & Noble's website. If you follow me on any socials, it's always in my bio to click on the link and purchase. I will be working on another book soon, as well as a children's book. So,
oh, yes! I love that!
Yeah, with that, is that like, I need to kind of readjust. Like, I've already written the children's book, but I feel like there's a lot of things that I want to change. And that's the thing about writing. Like, it's easy, but then when you start going back and reading what you wrote, you're like, what was I thinking?
Like, was I sleep during this part?
Yeah, listen, like, what was I trying to get at with this? So, usually, that's me. But definitely check that out. You all know what you have tuned into.
Mm-hmm.
This is your girl, Sierra Taylor, and this is the Miserable Wives Club podcast. Good night, good night, good night.
Good night.
All right.